The title of my message this morning is God Prepares Us. Have you ever heard the phrase, to have the faith of a little child? When we were children, we were protected and nurtured by our parents, so we developed a faith in them for our protection, our nourishment, and our security. Our parents sheltered us from hardships. And as young children, we had not lived long enough to experience the disappointments and challenges the world can bring. So we have a carefree faith as a child, and we are immune, for the most part, to difficulties. I won't call it blind faith, but we might say it's inexperienced faith, as our minds have not yet reached a point where we can fully understand what life is really all about. And so it was for the teachers of the law and the Pharisees during Jesus' time. We read in Matthew 12, verse 25, Jesus gives thanks to the Father for hiding these things, meaning his mission, from the wise and the learned, meaning the teachers of the law and the Pharisees of the day, and revealing them to little children. The little children meaning the humble followers of Jesus. Jesus expresses appreciation to his Father, having blinded those who were the leaders in Capernaum. Refusing to let them see how that they were governing was contrary to God's law of repentance for sinful actions. So he warns them of what they will have to face on the day of judgment. They were unrepentant. There is a burdening effort for these leaders to stay in control, just as it is in our own lives without God's wisdom and protection. So, if you are up against it and unable to see, so to speak, it is a heavy load to carry. But Jesus speaks to those who will listen. That would be his followers, we Christians. Those who wish to seek out their own sin and become unblinded, to walk in a way that brings light and sight and knowledge to their lives. As we can all identify with, sin can and will own us if we allow it to happen. And I often think of the young people of these times who refuse to see the control drugs have over their life. In our responsive psalm, in our opening psalm, the psalmist laments to God, "How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long?" As young people struggle with peer pressure and addictive, sinful actions, they must wonder, as did the psalmist, "How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" And as we look back over times in our own lives where we were also blinded to situations that seem very clear to us now, drugs take young people's lives away from them. They are isolated from family and friends. Intellectually, they seem to know it, but cannot see a way to get their lives back. We who are saved see clearly, but our eyes aren't their eyes. So Jesus gives us, who will listen, some of the most wonderful words written in the Bible in verse 28 and 29 of the book of Matthew. "Come to me, all you ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." We come to Jesus in humble repentance. He opens our eyes to our own selves, and we realize who we are And what that does to us if left unchecked. Repenting, we are given new life and are so grateful we want that very thing for others. He opens our eyes to really see the truth, opens our ears to really hear what others are going through, and opens our hearts to those around us. How blessed are we that we are called children of God. A God of wisdom, all-knowing, all-powerful, and life-giving. I have volunteered at a drop-in center in Kingston for the past 8 years. Every Monday night we go. And it's an adult Christian drop-in center. And young people come there and their lives have been taken away from them. And what they're looking for is love and boundaries. A lot of times in their lives, they don't have boundaries. And we all need boundaries to live properly. So that's what we give them when they come in. No loud talking, no swearing, no pushing and shoving, none of that. Nice and quiet. And you know, at first it was hard to get them to not do that stuff. But after a while, the most wonderful thing happened. They started to police themselves. Someone would come in and be talking loudly. Someone would go over and say, no, not in here, not in here. The most wonderful thing, God worked beautiful things in that place. And I'm so grateful that I was able to be a part of that. Some beautiful lives. I want to share with you someone who's come through some pretty heavy stuff through their life experience. You will know him, for he is famous. He was born in Texas in 1936. He was raised in a military family, and he has a brilliant mind. When he became an adult, he became a Golden Gloves boxer while studying literature on a Rhodes Scholarship at Oxford University in England. After graduating from there, he came back to the United States and joined the Army as a helicopter pilot. And at the age of 29, he was asked to teach at West Point Academy. Pretty lofty stuff. But he turned that teaching position down, and he and his wife moved to Nashville, Tennessee, to pursue a music career. He signed with a record company and was paid a meager weekly salary that he augmented by working as a janitor and a bartender. He also took on part-time work as a helicopter pilot, taking men to and from offshore drilling rigs. He and his wife soon had a son. That son was born with a defective esophagus that cost them thousands and thousands of dollars to treat, money they did not have. They struggled in Nashville for 5 years, and as often happens to people, he did drugs and alcohol to hide his pain, and soon he and his wife divorced. He was 35 years old and alone. He could have given up his dream of a career in music, but with these life experiences behind him, he wrote a number of hits in the early 1970s that included Me and Bobby McGee, For the Good Times, and Sunday Morning Coming Down. That launched Kris Kristofferson's career. God gives each of us challenges in life. And looking back on these experiences, he molds and shapes us to his will for our lives. And I believe God did that for Kris Kristofferson. And in 1972, I trust as a result of his life experiences and struggles, God inspired him to write and sing, Why Me, Lord? This is a song we can all relate to. And I think most people have experiences in life that we are not proud of as we try to run our own lives, giving little thought to our faith. No matter how successful we feel we are or seem to be to others, if we have turned our backs on God, we do have regrets. But God has a plan for each one of us, and He is the one who gives us rest for our souls from the burdens of life. Putting faith in Him brings us into the light, and sin is no longer hidden. As it must have been for Chris Christopherson and countless thousands more, we ask, why are we so blessed with His forgiveness after turning our backs on Him? The song tells it all. It is a sincere desire to help others who are now where we once were. Now we're going to sing that together. Why me? I'm not sure if we have that in print or not, but most of us will. Is it there? Oh my gosh, look at that. Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? And tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving You for the kindness You've shown? Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it. So help me, Jesus, I know what I am. Now that I know that I needed You, so help me, Jesus, my soul's in Your hand. Tell me, Lord, if You think there's a way I can try, all I've taken from You. And maybe, Lord, I can show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to You. Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it. So help me, Jesus, I know what I am. Now that I know that I needed You, so help me, Jesus, my soul's in Your hand. Let's sing it. Help me, Jesus, I've wasted it. So help me, Jesus, I know what I am. And now that I know that I needed You, so my soul's in Your hand. Jesus, my soul's in Your hand. That was beautiful to listen to You sing that. To God be the glory. Amen.